This might be a good message. It might be a long one. Amen. Might be a short one. Hunter, I need you to come up here and help me find where my message is on this air iPad. Maybe I can do it this way. Never mind, I found it. I've been having a little bit of difficulty with this. Amen. But thank God I have Hunter. When all else fails, you go to Hunter. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to us today on this topic that really not a lot of, you don't really hear a lot of messages on this because it's not one of them woohoo yahoo ones. But on the idea of the topic of sanctification, that the church ought to be sanctified. We ought to act like we're sanctified. And so I'm going to bring out some things today on sanctification. Woo! Hallelujah. So what is sanctification? What is it? Well, the definition in the Bible or biblical view is to separate from profane things and dedicate to God. So to separate from worldly things, those are not godly, and dedicate to God. That's one definition. Sounds pretty reasonable so far, huh, as a Christian? I mean, you ought to do that, right? Second definition is to dedicate people to God. Sanctify. In the Old Testament, they would sanctify and consecrate priests and kings to God. They would set them apart, and they'd anoint them, go through a certain ritual, and that was a consecration or a sanctification type deal. And lastly, this one I like the best. This is the last definition. To purify internally by renewing of the soul. So on the inside, because your flesh just going to be as beautiful, as ugly as it already is, it ain't going to change much. Come on, somebody. It's probably going to get worse. I heard it say to a young man one time, you don't know what your wife's going to look like when she gets older? Look at her mama. Good Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it's not going to be the way it's always been. Come on, I'm talking about your body. It changes into something that it used to be, but it's not, but it's still you. I'm going to make a point here in a minute. Right? You look at your picture when you were 18 years old. My wife for a long time, Megan, she had a picture of me on her side of the bed. I was about 22. Hair. We had been water skiing, had my shirt off. Boy, I'm looking sharp. She put that picture there to remind her of what I used to be. Then she could roll over in bed and say, good Lord, what happened? I know it's still him, but it ain't him, right? I'm going to talk to you about sanctification. It's still you, but it ain't you. Come on. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, so what the Bible says about sanctification. Now may the God of peace himself, so God himself, sanctify you completely. That's important. To be dedicated to God completely. That's what he says. May the God of peace himself sanctify you, to set you apart, renew you internally. Come on, somebody. This is what God wants to do for you and with you. He says, and may your whole spirit, everybody say whole. Not H-O-L-E, but W-H-O-L-E, your whole spirit. I'm going to talk to you about your whole spirit in just a minute. But may your whole spirit, your soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to get that done? Because sometimes I don't feel blameless. Come on. You're living a Christian life and you just feel so much blame and guilt and shame. You do as you shouldn't, but we do from time to time, that thing creeps in on us. Amen. And so the Bible, God says that I want to sanctify you completely and everything about you, your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. So let me talk to you about your spirit, your soul, and your body. So you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. You have those three components, all right? So in your spirit, it's the life, the pneuma, if you will, the breath of God. That breath that God breathed into Adam, that ruach, that's the word, the ruach of God is breathed into you, into each one of us. If you're living, it's the breath of God in you. If he takes your breath, you die. It's real simple, okay? You know? So you have a spirit, you have a soul in your body. Your spirit is your pneuma, life. That's what gives you life. If your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. Amen? You're just dead. Within your spirit, though, is another thing, your soulish realm. Your mind, will, and emotions. So you got a spirit, and within that spirit, there's this soulish realm. So the spirit is... Your soul is encapsulated with your spirit, okay? So now you got this spirit and this soul, they're connected. They're the same, but they're different. It's kind of like your body. You got your spirit, your soul, and your body. They're three different things, but they're one. Kind of like the triune Godhead. They're different, but they're one. Okay, you look at one, you say, oh, that's him. But you look a little deeper, you say, that's the spirit of him, or that's the soul of him. When I walk into this room, you can know me by what I look like. You say, well, without knowing me, somebody points you out and say, that's Pastor Marty. You don't have to know me. You just, somebody points you, that's what he looks like right there. Show you a picture of me. That's what he looks like. So now you say, okay, that's him. So when you run into me somewhere, oh, you're Pastor Marty. You don't know me. You just know my outside. I just wonder how many people on the outside just know the outside. Just stay with me, it gets better. So within your spirit is your soul, and that's your mind, will, and emotions. How many of you got emotions? How many of you got a will? How many of you got a mind? I didn't say how big, somebody got a mind. It just you got one, amen? You got one. Then there's that body, that physical existence. How people identify you from the outside. That's how they identify you, by what you look like, right? If I put up a picture. Now, Jason is sometimes confused with me. I'm not confused with him whatsoever. Some people confuse him for me. I'm better looking than he is. Amen. Come on, somebody. That's an amen moment. Amen. No. They'll sometimes say, are y'all brothers? Well, yeah, kind of. Not the way you're thinking, but kind of we are in Christ. But you're identified by the way you look. Now, talking about sanctification. Now, remember, God of peace wants to sanctify you completely. You understand that of the three things, your spirit, your soul, and your body, he wants all three of these to be sanctified, to be dedicated to him. He don't want one part of it. See, I think a lot of people think, well, I'll just give him my spirit so I can go to heaven. No, he wants to completely sanctify you. He wants everything that you are that makes up you, he wants that. Okay? That's what he wants. So when you're unsaved, none of the three, the spirit, the soul, or the body, are in alignment with the Holy Spirit. They're not in alignment. You're unsaved. You're not with God. You're apart from God. You're not dedicated in any part of your life to God. You're just unsaved. Amen? But when you get saved, only your spirit gets saved. Wish my body did. Your body's not going to get saved. Your body's going to die. It's going to be left in the earth. It's going to turn to dust. That's what the Bible says. Well, what about when in Thessalonians, where the Bible talks about the rapture and the body comes in? That's not the same body you got right now. It's a different one. It's a glorified body. We can talk about that. That's another message by itself. That's a glorified body. This body that you have will turn to dust. That's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7. Spirit's going to go to God. And your body will go back to the dust where it came from. Okay? Your spirit gets saved, not your mind, your will, and emotions, though. It's called free will. You got to line up some things. How many of you got saved? I know I did. I got saved. And yet the next weekend, there were some tendencies I had that I wanted to go do, and sometimes I did them. Because my will didn't get completely saved. But God said, I want all of it to be saved. I want you to act like you're mine. But my will, or the lack of willpower, took me over here. Some people say, well, you wasn't saved. Well, my spirit was, but that other part he's still working on. He hadn't got to the whole thing yet. Come on now. Now, if you got saved and everything was perfect in your life, you need to preach today. I didn't get there right off the bat, but I'm trying. Still ain't there. So this mind, will, and emotion, these parts of you have to be retrained to live according to God's word. Your mind, will, and emotions have to be retrained. I wish they could get saved and everything, boom, we're good, everything, hallelujah, we're great from then on. It's not the way it works for me. I don't believe God's word teaches that. You got to retrain your thought process. Think about it. You've been a heathen for 20, 15, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is when you got saved. And you got to untrain some emotions. You got to untrain some things that you've seen and participate in that felt good. Sin feels good for a moment. It takes you to a place that you can forget everything and it's groovy. That's an old word, isn't it? It's a 70s word, 60s word. Groovy. Groovy. We're going to bring that word back here in the church, groovy. All of our young people that's attending, they're groovy. We're a groovy church. That'll never happen, I hear you. It's never going to happen. So let's talk about that your spirit's saved. You got saved. You're saved. God saved your spirit from hell. You're saved, truly saved. But I got to work on this mind, will, and emotion thing right off the bat. Because the flesh, hey, don't put too much stock in the flesh. It's going to rot anyway. We already know that, okay? So you're trying to worry about so much stuff, and don't worry about that. It's dead. It's going to die. It ain't going nowhere, okay? If you're saved, you're going to get a new one. I got mine picked out. My wife thought she threw the picture away. She didn't. I got it on my side of the bed now in the drawer. But don't worry about the body part. God's going to glorify it, and it's going to be good, I guarantee it. I don't know what a glorified body looks like, but it's going to look better than what I got. And I hope it don't have hair on it, because I don't want to go to the barbershop in heaven. You talk to any bald person, it ain't bad, is it, boys? Can I get an amen? Ain't bad not having hair, is it? Romans 12:1 says this about your body, about being sanctified now. Your spirit's saved. It's right with God. But we have this problem with our mind, will, and emotions. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He says, merciful God, pay attention to me. I need you to get this. That's what he's saying. That you, Marty, can I call your name out? Jason. Billy, Greg, and the rest of you, present your bodies, this, what you see, what you identify me, present it as a living sacrifice. Now, that's important, so let me tell you about what that means. So, in Old Testament, they would bring a sacrifice of something, and there was a killing of something, and that became a sacrifice for the sin. And we no longer have to do that. But he's making this analogy that take your body and sacrifice it. In other words, starve it. Kill those things that it's used to that are ungodly. Stop that. Make it a living sacrifice. In other words, every day you get up, you got to say, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. I tell myself that all the time. I won't do that today. I'm not going to do that today. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working on me. And when you identify what your issues are, what you got going on in your life, and you call that out, now it's no longer a secret between you and your ears. It's like, today I won't lust. Today I won't cuss. Today I won't drink. Today I won't be an adulterer. It's your body. It's what your body wants to do. Today I won't be gluttony. Be a glutton. Thank God I hadn't got to that little Debbie part yet. Maybe I'll pass on before then. He gets around to that one. So our body is to be, we're supposed to live our bodies like every day we're a sacrifice to say, God, today I'm sacrificing this thing that's not pleasing to you so that I can be more like you. You got your stuff, I got mine. Okay? Just that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Not to what you want, not to what somebody else wants, not to what the culture wants, but to what is acceptable to God. What is acceptable to God generally is not acceptable in humanity. That's why humanity is crazy. God's not, okay? Then it says this statement, which I'm thinking, wow. It says, which is your reasonable service? Which is basically what he said, that's the minimum you ought to do. I mean, that's the baseline. You ought to live like you being crucified of those things that you know is not pleasing to God. That ought to be the baseline. You ought to say, I'm going to do this. Well, guess what? When you start living like there's things in your life that you know God's not approving of, when you put an axe to that, guess what? We'll move on to the next thing. And he'll put an axe to that, and we'll move on to the next thing. And he'll put an axe to that. If you're living your life like you're a sacrifice to God. That's why we don't clean fish here before we catch them, meaning souls. People come into the place and they got this issue and that issue. And I've had people say, Pastor, you know, they ought not be doing that. Well, they're not you. God's working on that, and God will get to that when he so chooses. You leave it alone. Amen? Because there may be something in their life that he, God, wants to take care of way before the thing that you see. Because you're religious. And I'm religious. Come on. We got this picture of the way it ought to be. Problem is, we don't put that picture up on our mirror. We just want it on your mirror so you can see you, and I'll look at me different. Well, come on, somebody. Are you tracking with me so far? I'm talking about how you can be sanctified in Christ. In Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. Now that right there, that encompasses your mind, will, and emotions. Because you want people to like you. Yeah, humanity wants people to like us, right? Nobody says, I hope nobody likes me today. You may say that once, but you want somebody to like you. You want at least your wife, your husband, your dog. You want somebody to like you. A Chinese proverb that says, that our greatest need is the need to know we're needed. Well, I believe that. Just need to know that. But he says, don't be conformed to this world, so don't let your flesh take over and be conformed to the world, what everybody thinks we ought to do this, we ought to do that. No. He says, don't do that. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the what? Well, we're talking about the body, and now we're talking about the mind. The mind. Well, if the mind was saved, it wouldn't have to be renewed. If God saves it, how can he get any more new? Your mind's crazy. Me and Ralph had this thing when you'd say all the time, I've shared it with you, my spirit's saved, my flesh is crazy. Mine's crazy sometimes. I think crazy thoughts. Wouldn't it be great if you got saved, got up, and praise God, every bad thought, everything that come to your mind would never come again. Woo, hallelujah. You can get up from being saved on Sunday morning Think about that hideous thing you did last night on Saturday night, and you just got saved. You're thinking about that stuff in your mind because it never shuts down because the enemy throws thoughts at you. You got to renew your mind. Why do we need to renew our mind? It's right in Scripture. So that you can prove what is good, what that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? That he sanctify you wholly, all of you, all three parts of you get saved. Get right with God. That's what he's really saying. That I want to sanctify you all. How we do this? Renew your mind that you can prove through your spirit, through your mind, will, and emotions, and through your body that you are saved. You're God's. Because sometimes we in the church think we're saved. We act like we're saved in the church, and we go outside the church, and people don't know you're saved. Because you're still living in the fleshly form. It hadn't been transformed yet. It hadn't been renewed. It hadn't been sanctified. Come on. Your body can speak without saying a word. Gestures. And those gestures can tell people whether your body is sanctified or not. You let some people cut you off on the road, or my favorite, somebody driving 30 mile an hour in the fast lane and somebody over here in the slow lane driving 31. My body has a tendency to show gestures that is not sanctified. Well, how do you do that? You flip them the bird, preacher? No, but my mind wants to sometimes. What do you do, preacher? What sends the signal to them that your body isn't sanctified? I got a big truck. In the name of Jesus. I ride them tight, baby. Sometimes even after the car in the slow lane slows down and I have enough room to get over. Oh, preacher. I'll let you up and tell about you just in a minute. Because you got one. See, the process is God sanctified a lot of my body, but that he ain't got to yet. He working on it, but boy, my will says, no, Lord, they need to be taught a lesson. Right? God says, wait a minute, when did I put you in charge? The Lord does this sometimes, and I'll do that right there, and I'm going to get over, and I finally pass around and look over, and it's a little old lady. She's up on the steering wheel and she's driving. She can't probably see the front of her car. She don't know what lane she's in. She ought not be driving. And the Holy Spirit say, boy, you did that, didn't you? You got them, didn't you? You got them. About to calm you right on down. Are you tracking with me this morning? I'm talking about me, but I'm talking about you too. I'm talking about sanctifying the body. There's gestures that you do that are not holy and acceptable to God. And we need to work on those things too. Can I get real with you? Thank you for allowing me to do that. I was probably going to anyway. But I ain't raising my hands. They done sang that song too long. I ain't worshiping. I ain't open my mouth. I'm ready to go home. I just ain't going to do it. I'm going to sit right here, cross my legs. I ain't getting up. And I'll lie to the preacher when he says something to me. I said, my back's hurting. Do you think that you're not worshiping the God that gave you breath? Do you think not worship him is holy and acceptable to him? I don't think so. Giving him praise when you know that you didn't have nothing to do with it, it happened to you because God's goodness and mercy happened to you, and you want to take the credit, that's not holy and acceptable to God in your body. You see, we can fill in the blanks. I could preach for a week on that. But you get my message, right? So he wants to sanctify how much of you? All of you. Your soul, or your spirit, your soul, and your mind, your body. So you, soul, mind, your mind, will, and emotions are part of your soulless realm, your spirit. And so he wants to get that body, and he wants to get that soulless realm, and he wants to get that spirit all sanctified, okay? All right? All right. Is it God's will that you're sanctified? If you were wondering, it is. It's God's will that each one of us are sanctified. We cut off something that's not holy and acceptable to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a pretty good list of things that I don't think God would approve of in my life. Why don't you do something with them? Same reason you don't do something with yours. My mind, will, and emotions says they're pretty good. They're handy from some time to time. And I like them. It is quiet today. So is it God's will you be sanctified? Yes, it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. 1 through 8. Finally then, brethren, who's he talking to when he says brethren? The church. Beloved brethren, he means he's talking to, he's addressing Christian folks, okay? Finally, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. There were some letters that were written and said, this is how you ought to act. This is how you ought to walk this thing out, okay? Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll call that the Bible. For this is the will of God, verse 3, for this is the will of God. If you were kind of confused and saying, well, is that a gray area? Here it is. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Flesh. He's talking about the body, by the way. Watch. Oh, could he talk about the mind? Well, yeah. They could. Couldn't he? We'll sit in front of a computer screen. Men and women. Ew. Sexual immorality. Let God sanctify it. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor. Do you think for a minute that I'm honoring God in the fleshly or in the body when I'm up on that car? No, the answer is no. I'm in the flesh. My flesh is driving that vehicle. My mind is operating, saying, go faster, get ready to hit on the brake in case they go crazy on you. I'm all in the flesh realm right there. My spirit's still saved. There's some areas I need sanctified. He says, possess your own vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. See, he's trying to make this deal. You can be saved, but you need to get this flesh crucified, sanctified, if you will, so that you can show yourself as a vessel of honor to God. Because there's people out there that don't know God and they're not honoring God. They're not into sanctification. They're not a vessel of honor. Are you a vessel of honor this morning? verse 6, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Watch this. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. That's what he called you to. Sanctification gets you from the unholy part into the holy part. You got to work on that. You're saved. You can be saved. But you got to work on the rest of you. Because God gave us free will. That's why I know free will is really free. I get to use it the way I want to use it. And boy, does it mess me up. Sometimes I always almost want to be a Calvinist. Well, not really. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this, what? The very things we've just been talking about, does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So you get saved, and you don't want to deal with your flesh, and you don't want to deal with your mind or your will or your emotions. Guess what? God's saying, hold up now. We got to talk. You should be dealing with these things as the Holy Spirit prompts you to. The Holy Spirit is never going to prompt me to quit drinking beer or alcohol. Because I don't drink beer and alcohol. He's not going to prompt me to stop smoking cigarettes or smoking weed. Because I don't smoke weed or cigarettes. Now, I got a list of things that he prompts me to, but that ain't some of them. So what I'm telling you is some of the things that God may be working on you about, he may not be working on somebody else about, so key is stay in your lane. You tend to your stuff and let them tend to their stuff with the Holy Spirit. Come on now. We're doing okay? Well, we got another hour and a half of this stuff. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Well, here's what we really need to know. Well, how do you get sanctified? Well, that's what we want to answer. How do we get sanctified? This old body, this old the mind, will, and emotions. How do we get that sanctified? Well, we know in our mind we got to renew it. You got to renew it from something to something for it to be renewed. Okay? So God gave you a mind. It was already his, and we went crazy and said, oh, now Satan's got it, so now we got to renew it, do it back to him. So how do we do this? How do we the body? God gave you the body. How do we renew that back to him? How do we renew our will back to him, our emotions? How do we get that done? I mean, it's like, isn't that what we really need to know? Oh, yeah, you already know. Well, we'll go home. I'm hungry anyway. Here's what we have to do. Let me just make this statement. It is impossible to be sanctified if you do not read and study your Bible. It is an impossibility. You are the greatest of fools if you think you can be sanctified without reading your Bible and studying it. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. How do you know? I'm going to tell you that right here in Scripture. In John 17:17 says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is your truth. Any questions? How do you get sanctified? Through God's word. It's the truth. And he says, this is Jesus talking to God about his disciples when he's sending them out. He said, you sanctify them. Watch, let me read this one. It's so good. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for those sakes, I sanctify myself. What? This is Christ talking to God. that they also may be sanctified by truth. What is truth? The word. So how do you get sanctified? By the word. What if you don't know the word, you can't be sanctified. You don't know where you're going. So you got to get in God's word so that you can be sanctified in the flesh, in the mind, will, and emotions, your spirit saved. We're working on the rest of you to get in line. It's kind of like when you go to Walmart, if you go to Walmart. I don't go much. I think I went twice last year. I think I've been once this year, praise you. Maybe twice this year. Man, amen, praise God. Or you go in any store, like me, okay? I'm going to Harbor Freight. Me and David Dotson, we go to Harbor Freight. David loves Harbor Freight. He likes the music there. He goes in and relaxes about the music in Harbor Freight. Am I telling the truth, David? Your Lord's working on that part of your flesh, isn't he? Me too. I don't really like it, but anyway, they got good. Anyway. So I'm going into Harbor Freight, and if I was to have my grandkids with me, all of them, in a row, when I go to Harbor Freight, I'm on a mission. Can I get a witness, men? Going to Harbor Freight and think, man, I want this, but if I see this, I'm gonna get this. And you know they got it. You know before you go in there, they're gonna have it. But honey, and if they got this, I might get this. They got it. You done looked it up online. They done sent you your little coupon in the mail. You're gonna get it. And you're excited about it because it got the sale on and everybody's going in and I got all my grandkids. Well, as you well know, one of them just started walking. She ain't real fast yet. The two in the middle, they everywhere. Them boys. Lexi, she right by Papa. And I'm going into Harbor Freight. I'm making a point about your body being sanctified. And I got all my youngins right here. And we going in, and I'm in a hurry. Come on, we got to get there for somebody else gets that stuff because I've gotten there and they done sold out. So I need to hurry up, get in there. And I'm coming. And I want to go to the back of the line and say, come on, let's go. We got to get in here. I think that's what God does with the stuff in your body that you don't want to, you're just dragging along. He said, get up there. Let's get you sanctified. You're slowing down the process. We're going to miss something if you don't get sanctified. That's what he's trying to tell us, church. Get yourself in gear. Get a hold of it. Let's make it work for him. Amen? Is this simple enough? And lastly, there's my wife. Look here. I'm supposed to tell her what word I'm going to use to get to the piano because she said, don't use honey. Don't call me Tina. Give me a word. I usually say, come to the piano. What's wrong with that? He's working on me, not her on that. Anyway, so how do we walk out this thing called sanctification? We know how to do it, right? We get in God's word. We study God's word. That's how you get saved. You got to get his word in you. When he starts talking about it, if you read the Bible enough, you'll run across something. Guess what? Now watch me. They're just getting on the stage. They do it every week. If you read the Bible, if you're going to run across something that don't agree with you. I said that right, that don't agree with you. See, it don't matter whether you agree with it or not because it's the truth, right? Remember I said, we read it. It's God's word, it's the truth. But you're going to run across, they don't agree with what you're doing. It don't matter if you agree with it. So you're going to run across something that don't set well with you if you read it. I think a lot of people don't read and study God's word because they know there's something in there that don't set well with them. So they say, well, why are we going to go there? It's like eating bad food. That don't set well on my stomach, so I don't eat it. Right? Well, I'm telling you, there's things in God's word. I don't care what level of relationship or walk, Christian walk you have, it's not going to set well with you. Just like me. But guess what? If I'm going to become sanctified and get to a place where I'm holy and acceptable to God to the best of my abilities, guess what? I got to get in His Word and I got to ingest the Word. So how do we walk out this thing? Can I get a drink of water? Thank you. So we can tell you how. We can tell you what the Bible says. But we got to tell you, how do we do this? How do we make this thing come to fruition? How does that work? What does it look like in real life? You ever had a... I've dabbled in a lot of different things in my life, business-wise, and done some things that's been great and some things that just stink. Some things been, whoo, that was successful, sell it, make some money. And I've done that and I've done some that. Ooh, why don't we do that? But the successful things I've done, this is what I know. I've made a plan. Call it a business plan. What does it look like in your mind and being able to transfer that on paper and then be able to take that from paper and interject that into people that work for you? Are you tracking with me? That's what God's doing here. He's got this great business plan for you. And He wrote it down. He got a plan called God's Word. Here's the deal. He's trying to get you to buy into it on your own, because it's called free will. See, an employee of mine, he gets paid. He don't have much free will there. Right? That's the way that works. I got this. But if we were smart business people, we wouldn't approach it that way. We would approach it, let me give you the vision so that you can catch it for yourself. And when you catch it for yourself, the company grows. Wow. Come on, somebody. You're tracking with me. God's the same way. He said, I'm going to give you free will. I'm not going to force it on you, but it's here. And if you can get it, oh, man, what can I do for you and with you and through you? That's why I want you to be sanctified, because you got to be different from the world. The difference between Chick-fil-A and McDonald's is people and management. Come on. They got the same buildings on the same corners, serving fast food. But boy, their people are different. God calls you to be different. He said that we're to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. You expect when you go to Chick-fil-A for those girls to be nice and those guys to be nice. I've come to expect on the top of my little drink, my receipt and thank you written out. Why? You get out of McDonald's, you just hope you got something in the cup when you leave. Right? It's a difference. Still fast foods? Okay. So how do we walk out sanctification? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, oh, what's it therefore? If anyone is in Christ, all right, you got saved, right? You're saved. Not talking about sanctification yet. We're talking about you got saved. How do you walk this out? I'm a new believer. I'm brand new. I'm in Christ. He is a new creation. Oh, Lord, here's where we got to get the mind and the will and the emotions and that flesh to line up with the Spirit. Right? I'm a new Christian. You got to get your mind to believe that you're something different. Well, did y'all do that? Some of you looking like, oh, I ain't done that part. Well, that's step one. That's step one. Oh, you may not be different. You may not be all that different in a lot of areas, but you got to say, I am different. I'm going to be what God called me to be. And so in this process, we've got to start right here. In the mind, I'm a new creation in Christ. How does that work? Through God's Word. Getting God's Word. Then watch. Most things have passed away. Well, why are you hanging on to this, some of that stuff? Why are you still okay with the flesh doing this and the will doing that and your emotions being this way? Why are you still on that? I'm just asking you an honest question. Probably the same reason I'm still on it. I ain't sanctified there yet. This ain't hard. All things have passed away. We got to get in our mind that I'm Christ, and what I used to do, I can't do anymore. So how do I keep from doing it? I got to get in Word, God's Word, and retrain my mind and my will to go after God so that my emotions follow God and not things of the flesh. Behold, all things have passed away, and I like this. Behold, all of Marty has become new. Galatians 2:20 says it this way, and I close. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. You're saved. He's in you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, he's fixing to take about all this stuff. The life I now in the flesh. Anybody in the flesh here today? Everybody in this room, if you're breathing, you're in the flesh. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith. I'm retraining my mind and my will to know that God has saved me. You ever seen saved? No. You believe it by faith. So my mind now believes I am saved to the uttermost. I'm saved. My spirit, I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. Even when you don't feel like you're going to go to heaven. Even in your sanctification process, when something bad comes out of your mouth. I live this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, you're still trying to live life for you. You're still trying to think that you're in the driver's seat. Some of you need to go take the God is my co-pilot off your car. That's your problem. You're still trying to drive and call on him when you need him. Let him be the pilot. Let him drive your life. Let him be in charge. Let him say, I can sanctify if you'll let me, but you got to get in your word. Wheels got to come into place. Church, I want you to grow. I've been praying the last few weeks, God, where do you want to take our church? Some of you have heard me say that. I've said it here in some of the services. Where do you want us to go? You know what the Lord's been speaking to me about? Starts in the house. You got to get sanctified. The people need to get sanctified wholly and completely so that we can have honorable service. Prove to the world that you're saved. Prove to the world, because God already knows you're saved. You know you're saved if you believe in Christ. Prove it out here. Go for it. I am saved. I'm blood-bought, and I want you to be the same way. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is for you. Sanctification is for the world to see you living and growing in Christ. Has this been any good today? You learned anything today? I want us to grow. I want us to grow deep. I want us to grow in Christ. I want you to understand that you're not perfect and nobody expects you to be. This pastor sure doesn't expect you to be perfect. However, I do expect you to be trying. I do expect you to be seeking after God. I do expect you to be in the Word of God. I do expect you to show up and worship God so that your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, all of you is on one page. It's tracking together, saying, I'm going to live this new life that God said I can live because I'm a new creation in Him. You can't get saved and go out and do the same things you did. The old hadn't passed. You can't go 45 years. Well, I'm the Lord sanctifying. Well, when do you think he's going to get started? I can tell you when. The moment you let him. because he won't break your free will. The moment you say, Lord, you know, I got some junk in my trunk and I need you to get rid of it. And when you do that, he'll say, well, I tell you what, I'm glad I've been waiting on you 40 years. And I want to start with this. With that, Lord? Well, that seems so minor. God says, well, to you, but I'm not you. And we'll cut that off. Get that out of your life. Deal with it. And go to the next and the next. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this building. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven if I die right this second. I'm going to heaven without a shadow of a doubt. We're really not even talking about that today. We're talking about sanctification. We're talking about you growing in the Lord. Pastor, I'm going to heaven, but I got some things in my life that really burden me down. They're a thorn in my flesh, and I don't really know how to deal with them. I got some things I need to be sanctified of. I need to be delivered of, set free. If that's you, I want you to come to the front of the altar. We're going to pray with you. I'm not even going to ask you what your issue is. I just want to pray with you. Because if I ask issues, we'd be here all week. If that's you, will you stand right now and walk right down to the front? We're going to have a team of people that's going to help you pray. It's going to help you through this time.